Welcome to Malcolm Reed's How to Barbecue Right, a podcast where we talk about barbecue, share recipes, and discuss all things delicious. And now, here's your host, Malcolm and Rochelle Reed.
Let me tell you about our sponsor, Schwenk Grill, Shell. Schwenk Grills is a portable 1,500-degree cooking machine that uses infrared heat, which is perfect for cooking steaks to perfection in 3 minutes' time. The Schwenk Grill cooks just like those fancy 1,500-degree grills that are used in steakhouses like the Denver Palm, Borton's, even Ruth's Chris. Any fancy restaurant that's got this kind of broiler grills, this thing does that too. You can do it at home, cook just about anything you want with all their accessories. And you know what, Shell? Our listeners are getting $150 off. You know how what they got to do to get that?
There's a link in the description with a coupon code to receive $150 off Schwenk Grills. The coupon code is HowToBBQRight, and that is S-C-H-Wank.
Y'all check them out. So what's going on today, Shell? You ready for another episode of the How to Barbecue Right podcast?
You didn't do your normal intro.
Okay, let me do it over. Hey, welcome back to the How to Barbecue Right podcast. I'm Malcolm Reed. Got my lovely wife and co-host, Rochelle, sitting over there in Miss Southern Shell. Through your whole foot.
Nobody needs to know my
government name out government there, didn't they? They know your government name. Miss Southern Shell, we got Tyler back with us on the boards.
What up?
How's everybody doing?
Pretty good.
Good, good. We got a lot of stuff.
What do we got to talk about today? Tri-tips?
Tri-tips. We did a tri-tip this week. But just a few things that we've got coming up. May and June are going to be busy months.
It's barbecue season, baby.
Yeah.
It's time to get after it. If you ain't got that grill cleaned up, first off, get you some grill cleaner. Pull them grills out. Knock all them old dirt dauber nests out of them. Any wasp nests. Don't let them build in it. Clean out the old bird nest to get in there. I know people put their grills up in the summer, but it's time to get them in the winter. But it's time to get them out, spit shine them, and get them ready because it's grilling season.
We have a burger contest happening at the shop.
Yeah, that's a here local one. But the kicker to it is $50 entry. You got to cook some burgers and you can win $1,000. What is it? $1,000 for first, $300 for second, and like $150 for third. Mm-hmm. And it only costs you $50 to get in. Yeah. And here's the real kicker. We can only take 20 people because we ain't got a big parking lot.
Yeah.
So you got a 1 in 20 shot of winning $1,000 for cooking a hamburger.
Yes.
We wanted to do something like that anybody felt like they could get in and cook. Yeah. So, burger. We did a chili one here a few months back, and that was, people loved it. And so we said, we got to do something for the summer.
Everybody who was at the chili contest said, why don't y'all do a burger contest? And I would much rather do a burger contest instead of a steak or rib or whatever, because I feel like the playing field's really level with a burger contest. Anybody can come and cook a burger.
I've got a burger that I would put in it all day long.
The jerk mon.
That's exactly what I wrote down. That burger is so good.
It is.
It's like, a really good hamburger, a thick burger that's cooked, nothing to cook in the burger, but I glaze it at the end with that jerk sauce. And then you make that slaw to go with it. That's kind of your topping.
Relish.
Yeah, it's like a pineapple relish. It's would you call that a chutney? Or it's not a slaw. It's not a relish.
I think you called it a grilled pineapple salsa.
Yeah, salsa. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you really call it. That's what I called it.
But
with those elements, man, with the burger, it goes.
It's simple enough, but it's interesting enough.
It's going to be different.
Good enough. And it's a little different.
And I think the way this burger contest is going to work, you're going to turn in one. Now, we're not doing one of these burger contests where it's all about who can decorate it up. You're not judged on the presentation of the burger, are you?
You get an appearance score.
But
you can only, we're giving you a cake box. It's like a 10 by 10-ish mm-hmm. cake box. And you have to put a full burger in there. And that's what you'll be judged on your appearance. And then you have to put 6 samples in there. So you can either do sliders or do more burgers and cut them into 6 pieces.
Like quarters.
Yeah, quarters or halves or whatever you want to do. But you can, it has to fit within that cake box. So what's a cake box height? 6-8 inches, something
at the
like
most.
That. Yeah.
But we're not trying to have one of these contests where it's how good you can decorate up a burger. It's more about the burger.
Mm-hmm.
That appearance, if you've got a baby chicken stuck on there and in a quart of beer or whatever people are putting on these burger platters, I've seen them. That's not a good burger to me.
Yeah.
Just because you can decorate it up and put a whole bunch of other food on it, that doesn't make it a good burger. the burger's got to speak for itself.
We did a burger contest. We actually did the steak side of the burger contest. Mm-hmm. Did we enter the burger?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
They would make like gigantic burgers, like the size of a plate.
It would take three people to tote them all over there. And they, I mean, no joke, they had chickens on them, hot wings, sausage and cheeses, shrimp. Good Lord. All this stuff was like, it got to be who could decorate up something that, you know, maybe had a burger in it.
And they had no limit. So you could bring a whole like cutting board with you could have six burgers for trying and then a giant burger decorated up. Yeah. And it was a little much.
Yeah. We're not trying to do that. We just want to know who can grill a burger.
Well, it gets expensive.
You can smoke it if you wanted to. Yeah. And we're trying to keep the cost down.
Yeah. It gets expensive to try to do that. This is like who can grill a good at home.
Let me ask you this.
Eating burger.
Do you have to grill it? Well, can you cook it? Like if you wanted to do a smash burger?
You can do
burger,
it on anything. You can do it flat top, whatever.
Propane?
You get a 10 by 10 spot and that's it. You got to bring your tent and bring your grill. Because a lot of people have asked that. Are you going to provide the grills and the tent?
No contest provides that. This ain't World Foods. We got a whole kitchen set up for you. You got to bring you a little grill. I would suggest like a Weber or a PK or something easy.
You could do a flat top real easy.
Yeah, flat top would work. Flat top would work good because you got propane. A little propane grill would work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care if you bring a George Foreman. You cook a pretty good burger on a Foreman.
You got to plug it up, though.
Oh, yeah. You better bring a generator. We got limited power, limited water. I mean, there is an outlet out there. We'll probably be using it for something.
Yeah, we're going to be passing out burgers. Yeah. So
we will have, like, we'll have to have something.
There will be no
hot
power.
Hot coals in, like, so people could dump their grill. That's the only thing that. There will be like a barrel, a burn barrel like thing to dump the ashes in, but that's about the only thing we're going to have. I'm sorry. Can't provide 20 tents and 20 generators.
So no power, but I mean, it's just during the day. You don't need it's overnight.
9 to 2?
Yeah.
I think that's the hours it's going to start at 9.
You turn in at noon, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Is there any other category or is it just a burger?
I
was thinking, well, why not do a Bloody Mary?
That's what I was thinking. Let's do a Bloody Mary just to throw in a little ancillary.
Yeah. I was trying to talk Mikey and Austin into letting me relive my glory days from Wienerfest and do like a crystal burger eating contest.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And throw down because I would definitely enter that, like for sure.
How many crystal burgers are, you call those sliders, I guess?
Yeah, for people who don't know, it's kind of like White Castle.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's like a little White Castle burger.
It's a southern, it's better, I think.
I mean, I very easily go there. Like me and Austin will buy the 12-pack and split it, and I'm easy for the six at least. But that's like, I could definitely do way more than that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Think you could do a sack full? You could do 12. But see, it's in a time, though. It's like you have, 3 minutes?
Yeah. I think it'd be easier
because it can't just go eat till you get sick because you got somebody that probably eat 100 cramming them.
But if you limit it too much, when we did our hot dog eating contest, I felt like the time was too short.
Mm-hmm.
And so you didn't have a chance for anybody to like pull away.
Yeah. Oh.
You know what I mean? Like everybody.
Hit that plateau. They were all still going at the time.
Everybody could have eaten 4 or 5 hot dogs, you know, and that's about the time that you had. So it was almost who could eat it the fastest at that point.
Yep. Yeah, so, I mean, if we did, like, 5 minutes, like, I could do 12 in 5 minutes, no problem. I could, if I train for it, I could probably
train.
Because this one's a little easier
to train for. just go to Crystal's. Look, yeah, I'm training. That's what I'm fixing today, Shell. I'm going to do some training today.
Me too.
I'm down, yo.
It's not blowing my diet. I'm training. Training. I've got a competitive eating contest coming up.
I think Crystal Burgers would be easier to get. To eat a bunch of than a hot dog.
Yeah.
I feel like a hot dog is a lot more.
Yeah.
They're like airy kind of. Like they're very light. Like the bun's very light. Now, there's nothing too crazy going on. I'm assuming if we did something like it, we'd have to make the sliders ourselves. Like we wouldn't really be able to just go pick up Crystals and bring it back. They'd be cold by the time we got here.
That might be part of it.
You got to bring your own.
Yeah, we didn't tell you that. Hey, old Crystals. We bought these last night when we left Huey's.
And we're shutting the bathrooms down after that.
Yeah.
That would have to be the last thing of the day. That's going to hit you about 30 minutes later. You're going to wish you hadn't been in that competition.
That's the thing about Crystal
Burgers. They don't come with grenades for nothing. Yeah.
But they are delicious at midnight.
The later today go, is it early or late? Because it's usually 2 or 3 a.m. Yeah. I'm eating Crystal. I don't know if I've ever just went by there at lunch. You know what? Crystal sounds good for lunch today. No. You've got to have been drinking cheap draft beer all night for those things to sound good.
I don't know. They're sounding pretty good right now.
Oh, really?
Heck yeah.
Maybe a little blue plate on a crystal.
Now you're talking my love language.
I always get the mayonnaise packet crystals.
Can you order, like, can you tell crystals, like, no mustard, add mayo? Because I'd be scared to do that. What kind of service you would get?
Yeah, I'm going to add my own mayo.
I do it every time.
But they add it?
Yep, just fine. Just enough. And honestly, a pretty good portion of it, too.
Really?
Yeah, me and Austin went probably, I would say it was like 3 weeks ago now. And I
so recently, yeah.
Yeah, no ketchup, no mustard. It was at 11:45 p.m. and it was perfect. And the pickles were, because I like pickle. I want the pickles, I want the onions, I want the mayonnaise. I want it all, but it was really, really good. That's what got me thinking about this contest. So
yeah. I always say no mustard. Do you get them with cheese or no cheese?
Oh yeah, with cheese. I'm just always scared. I always say no, like even if I order a McDouble at McDonald's, I say no ketchup, no mustard, because I'm just scared it's going to end up on there, you know?
Mm-hmm. We also are going to be in Grand Rapids.
At the Mitten Barbecue Supply.
And that is July
13th. From 9 to 2 as well.
They're having a big, if you're up in the Grand Rapids area, they're going to have a big event on the 13th.
July 13th. So we got a few months for this. This is going to be just right smack dab in the middle of summer. How hot is it going to be in Grand Rapids in July?
Not as hot as it'll be here, I guarantee you.
You're right. Oh, it ought to be pretty good here. Well, I don't know. Our Burger Fest, what's the date on it? June 5th? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the dog days.
It's going to be warm, but it'll be nice. Yep. I mean,
oh, we're going to be giving out. So I plan on cooking burgers and giving them out. So if anybody wants to come eat a burger with us, come on by, check out the shop, check out the contest, get you a burger.
We might have some other things like a...
We're not having a petting zoo this time. This is not a petting zoo event.
I heard George Strait will be here, though. So.
Oh, yeah, he will.
Straight George will. Where is he? He's done. He must have took the day off. He's not in here with us no more.
He's hiding.
We might. You could have a cornhole tournament or something.
See there? Now you're talking.
That would be something. We can set that up.
I only got one petting zoo.
Petting zoo. Maybe you do a dunk tank.
Yeah.
The June dunk tank.
That would work.
I'll sign up for that.
I'm not getting in a dunk tank. See how nasty those things are?
So this week you cooked a tri-tip.
That was my big recipe for the week. And so this was a Heartland. The big thing about this one was it was just a good tri-tip. We don't get tri-tip in our grocery stores. Y'all have heard me say that before. It's like, I can't just go to Kroger or Walmart and pick out a tri-tip. Like, I know people out west, like West Coast, California, man, they can go get tri-tip $3 a pound. Mm-hmm. Just at the regular grocery store. It's like, what would that be like? Because I absolutely love tri-tip.
It's one of my favorite cuts.
Yeah, it's off the sirloin. It's kind of the bottom tip of the sirloin roast. It's got a real beefy flavor. There's not a lot of fat in it. I mean, it has a fat cap on bottom if they don't trim it off when they process them. And I always try to leave that good fat on the bottom because I like a little of that. But it's a real lean, but it's a real like beefy, beefy tasting cut. That's why I like it.
Me too.
And when you cook it, you know, mid-rare, it's a melt in your mouth good. And this was, what was it
even
called?
Even the cheap ones are pretty good. You know, like, what would they be, Prime or Choice? Or
just Choice, yeah.
Yeah. Just, we've had those and they're really good.
Well, I know the Costco's out in California sell a Prime one. And I had a friend that he'd buy them and then freeze them and ship them to me with dry ice. And then I'd see the tag and he'd be like, this one was $7 for a Prime tri-tip. I said, there's no way. How is that possible?
Even if you found one
here, it'd be $55, yeah. You know? Because I've ordered them, like Creekstone Farms is a good place to order them from online. And that's typically what I do because they get them to you just in a couple of days. And sometimes they run them on sale so you can get a pretty good price. But you're still paying $25-$30 a tri-tip for just their choice grade. I don't know. Would you call it Creekstone? It's probably closer to Prime. High choice,
yeah, I would say.
But it's good. But you can get I've had the Wagyu ones from Kevin down at the butcher shop. Shout out to Kevin, too. He sent, you know what he sent me, Shell? This is going to get off the tri-tip subject. Is it okay?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Camel tenderloin. I'm going to leave that right there. Let that marinate a little bit. Let's go back to tri-tip. Just know that I got a camel tenderloin in there in the freezer. We'll come back to Kevin and the butcher shop. If y'all want a place to get some good meat, not only does he have Wagyu, he's also got camel.
He has everything.
Yeah. If he don't have it and he can't get it, you probably don't need to eat it. I will say that. But okay. Tri-tip.
Okay, tri-tip.
So, I mean, everybody, you know, the normal way to cook a tri-tip is kind of
well, you got this from Heartland.
Yeah, Heartland Beef, and it's Heart.
It's Heart Brand.
Heart Brand Beef out of Texas.
The Cushy.
Yeah, and you know how I got this? My buddy Mike from Primo, he's like, man, I've ordered it. I get this packet I order. And it's really, really good beef. I think you would like it. Do you want to try it? And I said, man, you know,
of course.
Is there ever a time I would say, no, I don't want to try some beef?
Yeah.
He says, really good. And I said, all right. Well, he said, this is what I normally get. I'm just going to, you know, contact the guy and see if he'll send you what I get. It was like some tri-tips, some ground beef, some steaks. The only thing I've cooked so far has been the tri-tips. And
so we still have steaks? What kind of steaks?
Oh, they're ribeye. I mean, they're beautiful. They're in the freezer. I think I cooked one of the strips when we first got on that night. It was Michael. I cooked you a ribeye and I cooked a strip.
Yeah.
So they were really, really good. So anyway, I got these tri-tips and it's Wagyu beef, but it's a cushy Wagyu beef, which is supposedly some of the best tasting Wagyu beef that you can get. Now this is grown. It's raised in Texas with those genetics. And I would say
it's the one that they say is healthy for you.
Yeah, they say it's healthy for you because it's got the good fats. If you eat this Wagyu beef, it will help you lose weight. That's all you had to say to me. Like, I can eat this.
Sold.
Yeah, this fatty beef, and it's going to help me lose weight. What kind of marketing is that? That's genius.
They really need to double down on that.
Yeah, they need to double down on that. If that's even really a thing. I don't even know how you could legally say that.
Me too.
If they would have said it might cause you to have a heart attack, I'd believe that. I'd be like, I can see it. But no, it was just super, super marbled up. Nice fat cap on it. When I trimmed it up, I didn't do much to it. I took off a little bit of sinew off the top. I kind of rounded the tip where it tells, you know, it gets real thin and that's going to burn up anyway. So I just kind of shaped it a little bit. But it was, you know, a little over 3 pounds.
That's about an average size.
Yeah, it's an average size tri-tip. Yeah. 3.5 pounds of average size. And I wanted to do it a little different. So I was going to smoke it, but I was also going to do it what I call a barbecue style. Just season it with some barbecue rub and then glaze it at the end. I've never really glazed a tri-tip. Most of the time you cook them kind of like a steak. You know, you slow them down, reverse sear them, bring them up slow, sear them over some hot coals at the end. It gets a nice little crust on it. It's great tasting meat. A lot of times you see them doing them on these Santa Maria type grills where it's over open fire and you can raise her and lower them. And I've cooked them like that and they're really good. But this one, on the Outlaw, 275 degrees, I seasoned it with just a little AP and a little hot rub, just like you would say a brisket or, you know, even some ribs or something like that. So straight up barbecue seasonings. And then I put it on the pit at 275. I used some hickory wood to get me some smoke going, put me a probe right in the center of it. And I let it come up, you know, it's kind of slow. It took it, I don't know, probably about an hour. I don't remember exact minutes, but I just watched it.
It was about 45 minutes.
Yeah, about 45 minutes to an
hour. To come up to that.
The 115. That was my first stage, 115. And then at that point, I took some barbecue sauce and some vinegar sauce, kind of 50-50, mixed them up a little bit. And then I took that tri-tip, left the probe in it, and put it up on my little, they call it the microwave shelf.
Why do they call it the microwave shelf?
Because it puts high, it's the hottest spot of the grill. And it's got super high heat, a lot of airflow going through there because that's where the exhaust side is. And when you put something up above the rack in that hot zone up there, all that hot air drawn up to it, it's like microwaving. It's like, so if you're 275 on great, you're 400, 425 up there on that. It's that much, just that big of a heat difference up there. It's really, really hot. A lot of guys use it to make brisket swell up. Or to really set a sauce on chicken or something at the end, or glaze anything. It's kind of like your glazing shelf. And so all I did was left the probe in there, brushed that tri-tip with that barbecue sauce mixture, had it on that little microwave shelf or the hot spot of the grill. And you could do this on any grill. Just you're going to move it to the hottest spot of your grill at this time and set that sauce. And you're still watching the internal temp. And for me, this is where, like, if you like it, yours more done than I like mine, it might take it a little longer. But I'm a 125 to 128. That's going to be medium rare when I've got it in that hot spot. And it's, you know, it's going to shoot up. And it's only going to take 10, 15 minutes. It's not long. When you got it that hot up there, it's like throwing it over a sear. It's not, you're not going to get sear marks. It's going to just kind of set and start caramelizing that sauce. But it will burn something up there too. So you got to watch it. You got to keep an eye on it. And I let it sit up there for about 10 minutes. I had my probe set at like 127. As soon as it went off, I took that tri-tip off, pulled my probe out and took it off, put it on a little sheet pan with some foil, loosely covered it with some foil. And most importantly, I let it rest.
So would you say this is kind of like doing a reverse sear?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Because
yeah, you're going from a lower temp and then finishing at a higher temp. So that's a two-stage kind of
technically
searing. Yeah, a more reverse glaze,
yeah.
I guess you would call it. But that's what kind of what made it barbecue style. I treated it like it was a slab of ribs I was finishing, or it was some barbecue chicken I was finishing, or even a brisket. Like in a contest, we would take a brisket and set it at the very end too, just the flat up there, and then glaze it up and then, you know, let it kind of start melting that sauce and making it look beautiful and puts a pretty bark on the end of it. And this tri-tip had a different flavor than just a regular old reverse seared one over some open coals or on a Weber grill would have. You picked up on the smokiness from that hickory wood. You got the barbecue flavors, and it had a touch of sweetness to it. Now, it wasn't super sweet.
It definitely had the sweetness.
Yeah, but you got that from the sauce, the two sauces on it. And then you also got the spice from the hot rub, which it, you know, it's not hot, but it has a peppery little bite to it. And it really just made a fantastic tri-tip.
It was good.
The most important thing after you rest it to slice a tri-tip, you've got to know how those grains, you know, how the grain of the meat's running.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about the rest.
Okay.
Because you only rested it 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you think that's enough of a rest?
A minimum of 10.
Yeah.
I couldn't take it. Resting is the hardest thing for me to do, because you know why? After I've already seasoned this meat and cooked this meat, and I see how good it looks, and I'm smelling it. Now, y'all on camera, y'all ain't smelling what I'm smelling. I'm looking at this juicy piece of Wagyu meat, you know, of the highest grade that they got in Texas. I'm just going to throw that out there. Highest grade they got in Texas. but I want to eat it. So to me, to have to sit, let there and sit, and y'all take pictures and do all this other stuff.
And you also want to be done. You're ready to be done.
So it's hard.
I don't feel like you rested it enough.
What do you think? I mean, it could have went 20 minutes,
yeah,
30 minutes.
I think it needed 20 or 30.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been a problem for it.
Yeah. I just think, I don't know. You've got me on this, like, the more you rest it, the better it's going to be.
I've got another one in the freezer. I can rest it longer. Would you want to eat that tri-tip again that way, barbecue style?
I would definitely eat it again that way.
Because I made sandwiches with it. It made a lot of meat.
So trimming it.
Trimming. I just took the sinew off.
Not trimming. Sorry. Slicing.
Oh, well, so the important thing with tri-tip, there's always multiple ways the grain runs. So you need to pay attention to which way that grain's running. I always try to make a mental note before I go season it, because that's when you can really see the grain when it's in its raw form. So I know that down the thin, narrow end, it's usually running straight down that end. And you're just going to cut across. But there's going to be a point in that tri-tip where it widens out, where that grain's going to start fanning and turning on you.
Is it two muscles there?
I don't know if it's two muscles. It's they just kind of converge down there on the tail end of the sirloin, you know?
Yeah, how it runs.
So it's just how that grain of the animal, because it's kind of wrapping around down at the bottom, and it's kind of at the tip, you know, before you get back to the back haunches, the way it runs down. Like, if you think on your backside, that's kind of where that sirloin is on the back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's before you get back to the hams.
Oh.
So it tails off. No, it tails off.
I was thinking it's more brisket area.
Mm-mm. No. It's closer towards the rump.
So there's two tri-tips on every cow?
Yeah, on each side.
Okay.
Each side's got a sirloin. And if you think of it, it's kind of like the loin runs down there. So you got your ribeyes, and then it goes into your strips, and then it gets back into that sirloin area. The top part's the picanha or the culotte. And then you got your sirloin where they cut the steaks out of. And then at the very bottom, where it triangles down, that's that tri-tip. It just kind of comes down. And so it's a working muscle, you know, and it doesn't have a lot of fat back there. It's not a place where the animal stores a lot of fat intermuscularly. But it was the flavor of it. It was phenomenal. The texture of it was phenomenal. It was perfectly medium rare. And if I'd have left that probe in and carried over, I would have guessed that when I took it off at 127, it in 10 minutes, it probably got to about 132, no higher than 135, I would imagine.
It was still pretty rare.
Yeah, it was still pretty rare. And then if you'd have let it cool off, it'd have been probably a little more rare. Because to me, when you let that meat rest, it really gets red. You know, you notice those juices going back in, it gets red. But as you could tell Well, the way the camera was on those slices as I was slicing it, you could see the juice just running out of it.
Yeah.
And it was, man, it was juicy as it could be. And I didn't inject it. I didn't brine it. I didn't do anything. Marinade, that was just out of the package, trim, season on the pit. And it was that juicy.
I made a point to leave those clips in the
video. In the video, yeah.
That's where, that's what I want to say.
But it was really good. I mean, for a barbecue version of a tri-tip, I would definitely do it again.
Would you... Okay, so compare the barbecue tri-tip versus just your typical reverse sear tri-tip with steak, beefy flavors.
So to me,
what did you like better?
I like them both. I don't know if one's better than the other. Sometimes I want something a little different, so I do like the barbecue flavors. It reminds, like if I was serving tri-tip with ribs and chicken and having some other meats to go with it, that barbecue style would go great with it. If I'm just if I'm just wanting to cook tri-tip, kind of the traditional way. It has more of a steak flavor to me. Open, yeah. Meat over open fire has that flavor to it. So it's different. And a lot of times I'd serve it with like a chimichurri or something along that way, something smoky.
Real savory.
Or make a taco, like a fajita with it or something. Or, I don't really think of, barbecue style when I think of those. This one, you could throw some coleslaw in a bun with that tri-tip have a heck of a tri-tip sandwich, barbecue tri-tip sandwich.
I'm not sure which I like better either. I would have guessed that I would have liked the savory traditional steaky beefy flavors, but the barbecue one was
they're both good. Right. I mean, now the other way I've done tri-tip is kind of brisket style, where you're basically not stopping at medium rare, you're taking it fully, like up to 200, just like you would a brisket.
I liked when you did that way.
I just don't know if they're as good with a choice grade tri-tip. You really need a higher quality tri-tip that has more fat, muscular in it.
I'm pretty sure you used a lesser grade.
I probably did. But the only thing about it is, they're both tough muscles. I mean, that tri-tip muscle and a brisket muscle, they're both tough. But the brisket, I don't know, for some reason, it's not good at all unless you cook it all the way. Like, there's no in-between on brisket. It's got to be done. You can't go medium rare and it beat because you can't chew it. Tri-tip, you can. So I don't know. I'm more like, let's stick tri-tip to keep it. I'm eating it more rare, like mid rare is perfect. When I cooked it like a brisket, it had a texture similar to brisket, but it's drier because it doesn't have as much, fat.
You got all that juice. You can just run it through. Thought it was, I wouldn't say as good as a brisket, but I thought considering the money you spent on it and the time that took to create that tri-tip brisket style, it was pretty daggum good.
Yeah It does cook faster than a brisket doing it that way.
I like the idea of it because I have a smaller family, so I'm not going to cook a whole brisket flat for dinner, but I can make that tri-tip and make a little brisket for my family.
So you got a California connection, Tyler. You gotta just have them ship it. You gotta have your dad shipping them to you.
I know. I'm going out there next month, so I'll come back with us both.
You need to get a cooler while you're out there. Tape it up, take it to UPS, pack it full of dry ice or whatever, or freezer packs, and then mail it back.
Gotcha.
That way we could have some good tri-tip.
So, what did Kevin from the butcher shop send you? Butcher shop in Pensacola, Florida.
The
butcher shop.
Best butcher on the planet. He sent me a camel tenderloin. That I've never remotely considered eating.
You didn't put that request in?
No, but I'm going to try
it. You got some camel?
I'm going to try it. First off, what do you think camel tastes like?
Pork loin?
No. No, it's real red, so it's going to be more, it's going to be more like bison or, I don't think it's going to taste like beef, but it looks like beef. I mean, maybe
it look marbled at all?
Oh, it's froze. I can't tell. It's in a package. I might have to thaw it out to see.
But it's red. In my mind, I was picturing it to look more like a chicken.
Oh, you think it's more pork? No, camel's more than the horse. It's more like eating a horse. Don't send me a horse dinner. I'm going to try this camel. I can't promise you I'd ever order another one, but I'm going to try it.
How big is it?
It's several, it's 4 or 5 pounds, it looks like, in the package.
Is it shaped like a loin?
It's still froze. It's kind of folded up, so I can't tell.
Okay. So we don't know exactly.
We don't know exactly. But that jerker's going to get, he's going to hit the refrigerator. I'm going to slow thaw him, and I'm going to try some camel pretty soon.
So are you going to research this, or are you just going to go to Camelin?
I don't know. I'm thinking it's going to have some marinade, put the brine in or something, you know, put some flavors on it.
Have you watched any YouTube?
I have not. I've not seen anybody cook a camel. I don't know anybody's done a camel recipe.
Got great shock factor for TikTok.
Yeah, yes. It definitely does. I'm going to do that. But he also sent me I think it's an eight French boned elk.
Dang.
Bone in tenderloin or bone in loin. So I'm excited about that. That's one of my favorite things to eat.
And why is that meat so good? It is always so good.
Elk's the best venison there is. Like, I love deer meat. I love white-tailed deer that we have in Mississippi. I've got a buddy that brought me some mule deer. It's pretty good. The only thing that I've had probably that I would say that's better than elk or as good as elk to me is going to be Axis deer. And it's the flavor of that Axis deer is right up there with the elk, if not better. Those two right there are fine, fine eating.
What do you have planned for that? Just so you're going to make a recipe?
Yeah, for the elk. Oh, I'll probably.
Rare?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be cooked rare. It's going to be cooked whole in that bone. And then you cut it in a lot like cooking a rack of lamb, except it's bigger, you know. But it's more like deer meat to me. You know, it's real red meat. Really, really good. Really good for you. Elk's good for you.
What else was that in?
No, there were some Iberico pork tenderloins.
What's Iberico pork?
It's just one of the, you know, fancy breeds of, okay. I think it's like from Spain. Isn't Iberico from pigs from Spain or
is
something?
Is that the hairy one?
I think so. You'd have to look it up. Look up. It's I-B-E-R-S. Iberica. It's not co. I think it's Iberica. I don't speak Spanish, but.
It's a black Iberian pig is a traditional breed of the domestic pig that is native to the Iberian Peninsula.
It's not the hairy ones I was thinking about.
Those might be the Mangalistas or something.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I'm pretty sure they finish them out on acorns or Iberica. It's a fancy, like they make ham, like those fancy hams and stuff with it.
Yeah. Okay.
But I've never cooked the meat like the way we cook it, barbecue style. So I'm looking forward to cooking that. And there's a whole Wagyu tenderloin in there too. And that's going to have to be something special. I've had one of them before and it's changed your life. It's not really a video thing because nobody else is going to go buy one of those. Yeah. Maybe I could just do some fillets. I don't know. I hate to cook. You know, I don't like cooking those into fillets. They make excellent fillets, but I like cooking them whole and then slicing them. And then it's like eating like the best
of the best.
Yeah. The best beef you could eat. It's hard to imagine. Words can't even describe how good it is.
A little horseradish cream sauce.
Yes. In a roll. That's all you need.
Imagine you could make yourself sick off that.
Oh, I guarantee it. How would you make a horseradish cream sauce if you were going to make one?
Blue plate.
Blue plate mayonnaise. That's a good point to talk about, blue plate. Let me tell you about this quality mayonnaise since 1927, real mayonnaise. You would start with about a cup or 2 cups of blue plate, depending on how much horseradish sauce you
like.
Why do you
make sauces in large bowls?
Because.
It's like your recipes call for like either a bottle of blue plate, a whole
jar. My tartar sauce is a jar.
Or half a jar. Yeah. That's
You need like a bottle of the prepared horseradish that's creamy, and then you need a jar, the little skinny jar of just regular horseradish.
That's the prepared.
That's what's prepared. The other one's creamy, one's prepared.
Yeah.
I've never had like real horseradish where you grate it, like the root.
Do they sell that locally, like in a grocery store? I don't know.
But I've only just got it in the little jar. So you need that, mayonnaise, some black pepper.
A little
hot sauce, and that's about it. You don't need much else.
And really, you
adjust that heat level to with the prepared, the stuff in the little jar. That's where you get it from, because usually it's about 2 parts mayonnaise, 1 part creamy horseradish, and then tablespoons up. How big a boy are you on the hot horseradish? And usually I have put the whole jar before, because I like horseradish, and I like that little nasally burn it gets.
And you were feeding probably a bunch of men.
Women ain't going to like it. They're going to be more wanting just creamy with not much horseradish flavor.
I mean, I want a little. I just don't want my nose to burn.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that burns good, man.
It's like
I like that little poof.
Wasabi. You know?
Yeah, wasabi burn.
That's how me and Ashley make it with like tons of horseradish.
Yeah, it's good. Are you a horseradish fan
too? Yeah, I make mine pretty much the exact same way, except I do a little sour cream, just a little bit.
I've made it with sour cream, but it's so much better with blue plate.
Yeah, it's creamy.
Yep. And I guess it has a touch of vinegar element to it too, because, you know, sour cream is just cream. So it's just like you eat cream and horseradish. I think that's kind of the traditional way. Like when you go to a restaurant that serves prime rib, it's just going to be mainly sour cream. And
that's how we made it up. Horseradish. That's where my recipe came
was.
From.
What was it? Just sour cream and horseradish?
We had like a seasoning packet, sour cream, horseradish.
What was in the seasoning packet?
It's a seven pepper seasoning packet. It's the same thing we used on the fillets that just went inside there. So
was there salt in it or was it just pepper?
I think it was mostly pepper. There probably was a pinch of salt or something like that in there. But
I always put a bunch of cranks of cracked black pepper and then a little salt too. But sometimes I'll just use TX. Just like a tablespoon of TX for it.
I use TX for any recipe that calls for salt and pepper. Getting TX.
But it makes a fine horseradish, creamy horseradish sauce to go with beef.
So Saturday night, we don't have any plans. No guests. It'll just be us three. What are we cooking?
Well, there's a rodeo. Are we not going to the rodeo? Northwest Junior College Rodeo, man. Go back to my stomping ground.
We can do the rodeo after the rodeo.
Yeah, I don't have anything planned for dinner this weekend. This is the last weekend of turkey season.
It's Saturday night, so I don't want to eat like, you know.
We're going to have wild turkey.
No.
Wild turkey tasting. That don't sound good to you? Some wild turkey's good. I did a bang bang turkey recipe. I don't know if it's has it released yet over on Buck Junkies yet, Tyler?
If you're listening to this on Fridays, drop it on Saturday over at Buck.
Okay, so you can see that bang bang turkey recipe over on the other platform.
But it's Saturday night, so I don't want to eat like, you know, chicken and salmon and two veg or, you know. Yeah, like
you're not trying to eat healthy. Let's do, we can have a burger taste off.
I'll do a burger.
Because I've got some more of that Heartland brand, and I've got some Browsy Acres beef too.
So we could do two.
We could do a double, see which burger's better.
Are you going to grill them, smoke them, or flat top them?
Grill them.
Grill them.
Yeah.
Traditional?
Just to crank up the Weber. Good twos on fire. Get those burgers going. Get them, you know, good grease and a little of the juice coming out. And then put them over and sear them real good. Slap some good cheese on top of them.
Do you put mayonnaise in these burgers?
I don't see why you wouldn't. If you want a good tasting juicy, I mean, I don't know. This beef is.
That's what I'm saying. This is a higher.
I'm going to have to do some without, some with.
Does it say if it's 80-20 or anything on it?
No.
Okay.
I wonder what that ratio would be. Like if you had ground Wagyu and when they mix it with fat, what is the ratio? Is it 50-50?
50-50.
Is it 70-30? I doubt it's 80-20. I don't know.
70-30 maybe, but 50-50 would be.
Oh, I've made some 50-50s, and they will burn your grill down. It is just raining fire. Shell pretty much burned up a Traeger doing that, some Wagyu brisket burger. It was just all the trim. We just ground all the trim, and the meat looks white almost. Like there ain't a whole lot of lean to it. It's pretty much a fat burger. But, man, you could not dry them out. It was the juiciest, beefiest burger. Just, it's so good.
I did some of them on a griddle, like just our indoor pancake griddle, you know, and they were pretty good, but they never got really crispy. Like
they can't do it because there's so much grease. Yeah. You need some real flame and char and way to get that grease away from it because it's not getting away from it enough in that griddle. Oh, with the burger contest, can people bring whatever meat they want?
Whatever meat you want.
Because it's just.
You can use any protein.
You can grind your own.
You can do turkey burgers. You can do chicken burgers.
There's no restriction on that.
Yeah. Right?
It would be hard.
Tyler, do you know?
I don't think so.
It'd be hard not to get the Browsy or the Heart.
You can use any, I don't know. Do they have like a tofu? Could you do a tofu burger?
You do a black bean.
Black bean, impossible.
Impossible
meat.
Burger. Go ahead. If you do the impossible burger, you might as well just come by and throw $50 out the window.
I'll be accepting 15 at the front.
We could have done an impossible burger category, but who are you going to find to judge it?
Ugh.
Those type of people don't want to hang out with us. Enjoy those.
I've been forced to eat worse. I'll do it.
You would judge
myself.
It. Impossible burgers. Man, I bet you'd be so sick after you tried six or seven impossible burgers.
Why? It's just beets.
I don't know what it is. It is not beef. That's impossibly what it is.
Oh, speaking of, Have you seen this thing where Buc-ee's, they're saying Buc-ee's doesn't actually cook their brisket?
I did. I saw a TikTok on that.
So where are they getting it from?
They come in froze, and they said they put it in the oven, and they bring them out like okay. they're, do you think that's true?
So,
well, I mean, I figured they would have like an old hickory or southern pratt yeah. or something in there. They were loading them up, cooking. I mean, they're there around the clock. Why not have somebody cook a brisket?
I looked this up, actually, because I was curious, because I've never seen a smoker at a Buc-ee's or anything like
never
that.
Never smelled it.
Yeah.
True. I've never smelled it.
Not quite like a smokehouse. So I found out that they have like a nearby plant where like they're kind of central. That's why you, like when you have a Buc-ee's pop up, you'll have a bunch of more Buc-ee's pop up because they're making all the barbecue and then they're shipping them out in containers every morning before.
So they have a commissary. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's what, and that's what I read, but I mean, that they might not sense. Be doing that anymore.
They got to be smoking them somewhere. That's yeah. not an oven cooked brisket.
Yeah. And you know, like that they're getting them in froze makes sense to me. They're getting them cooked, froze, and they probably defrost them overnight.
Pop them in. Yeah, it could be a sous vide, could be an oven, could be whatever. I don't know. Whatever it is, they're dang good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll put a Buc-ee's brisket sandwich up there with just about anybody. To be just meat and sauce and that's it and a pickle.
Do you think if you would just eat a slice of that brisket, it would be as good as them chopping it, saucing it, tossing it, and putting it on a bun? I agree. Yeah. I think that's where you can hide some bad barbecue.
By saucing it and putting it on the bun?
Chopping it, saucing it, mixing it
all
together.
Like if you just talk about give me a pound of your brisket and try it as they're cutting it right there on the board.
I don't think it would be as good.
Yeah, probably wouldn't.
Isn't it Max the meat guy that does the parking lot cooking?
Yeah.
Well, Max, if you're listening to this, I got a challenge for you. Go ahead and make you a brisket outside of a Buc-ee's.
Hey, they're building a new one in Tennessee, pretty close to us, up there in Arlington. Yeah. They're on 40, so we can hop on 269 and run it over to 40, and you're going to be right there at Buc-ee's. That's going to be dangerous. Run over there. Get me some beaver nuggets, some gifts.
Some jerky.
Yeah, some jerky. They'll have the fire pits and stuff and all that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They're going to have it all. This will be a good time for us to pay some bills.
All right. The How to Barbecue Right podcast is brought to you by our friends at Primo Grills. Shell, did you know that Primo is the only ceramic grill made right here in the good old USA?
What? Are you telling me that Primo Grills are proudly crafted here in the USA, ensuring top-notch quality and support for local craftsmanship?
I sure am. Plus, Primo Grill not only delivers mouth-watering flavor, but because of their innovative oval design and superior ceramic construction, Primo Grills also gives you a ton of cooking versatility.
Whether you're smoking low and slow or searing a steak to perfection, Primo Grills gives you the consistent heat distribution for mouthwatering results every time.
What she said, y'all. Y'all visit PrimoGrill.com and check them out.
So, Malcolm, I got some questions from you. I got some great questions from the community.
What do you got today, Shell? I was trying to go through my list of what I got. I actually came with some notes today. Look at me.
What do you got?
Well, the first one that I got was the best way to keep seasoning from clumping by Jack on the Let's Get the Cooking community. So he has like when you buy rubs I don't care who you are, you're going to end up, if you're into barbecuing or cooking, you're going to end up with a whole pantry full of just open bottles of seasonings. And over time they do get clumped up.
It also depends on the manufacturing process because some manufacturers add an anti-caking and some of them don't.
And some seasonings have more sugar content. I found that the ones with higher sugar content are the first ones to clump when you open them just because that sugar draws in moisture. A lot of times it's granulated or brown sugar or something like that, and it's just going to draw moisture in. So how can you alleviate that? Well, a good way to do it is to, you can buy those little food grade packs, like comes in a pack of beef jerky or something like, or save those. Like, you know, we buy beef jerky from Michael. He takes those little fun size packs of beef jerky to school. And every one of those has one of those little, is it called an incandescent pack or
I know
whatever it is. It absorbs moisture.
Yeah.
So if you save those, when you open up the rub, you could just drop one in. And I've never bought any. But I would bet you could go to Amazon.
I was going
to
say, I bet you could buy.
Search those and buy you a pack of them. And every time you open a bottle of seasoning, drop you one of those in there. Now, I'm assuming you're going to make sure they're food grade, but the ones they put in jerky have to be. You know, it clearly states do not eat it.
Yeah.
So don't eat the little pack.
Desiccant?
What do I call it? Incandescent? That might be a light bulb.
Desiccant?
It's some fancy scientist word.
You can
I don't
get 150,
know. I'm from the South.
You can get 150 of them on Amazon for $15.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I don't use them personally. I probably need some. That's a good stocking stuffer. That's a good Father's Day. Here's you some packs for your seasoning.
That is a good.
But it really is. So if you think about it, that's going to stop. That's going to soak. It's going to help it from not clumping as much. And so what that does, it allows you, but you don't have to buy just a little bottle of seasoning. You can go ahead and save some money, buy it in bulk, yeah. Drop one of those in there. The worst ones that do it to me is something that's got high sugar or like my garlic powders or my onion powder. It clumps every time. Dry mustard, it always clumps because it's more powdery form. And I buy those at like Sam's or Costco in a big thing. And usually what I do is take a knife or a fork and put it in there and break them up. I'm still using it. I'm not just because it's clumped up. Don't mean I ain't going to use it.
Does it go bad?
I'm sure. I've
always heard it loses.
So here's the deal with seasonings. They don't necessarily go bad, like as far as spoiling or going to make you sick, but they have like half-lives over when they're the most potent. So you're going to taste all the flavor in them. But say if you've got to open a bottle of rub, and the shelf life on our rub, I think, is 2 years. So after a year, it's probably got a year half-life where it's going to be full flavor for a year. But after that, it's slowly going to lose its potency and flavor is all it's doing. So what happens is your salt starts being more prevalent because that's the last one to go. And so you're always,
will
it's going to get saltier.
Ever lose? It's,
I don't know. I don't think, there's no really spoilage date on it. It's never going to go bad, but is it going to change? And then when you open it, it gets exposed to air
and the colors fade.
If it's in sunlight, the more light exposure to it, that changes the color. If you ever notice that, like a bottle of rub, you buy one from a store and it's like, it's their aisle is like near a window or something.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter when you can tell which ones have been sitting there for a while because they're all like sun leached. They start losing their color. But what you can do is take those bottles and shake them up and then it looks back to normal because what's on the inside hasn't been leached. But that's what's happening. And a lot of times people will use different colors. Instead of using clear bottles, they'll use a darker bottle or something to keep it from doing it.
You can also put it in mason jars.
Jars will do it.
To keep it fresh.
Keep it fresher. But that's what I would do. That's about the best way that I know or an idea that I have to do it. And I'm sure I've seen people, post it on forums and stuff.
Those little packets is a good idea.
What were they called? Decadescent?
We'll figure that out.
Yeah. Make Google say that for you, that word. But anyway, that was one of the questions I had.
So I have one. Ralph actually emailed in. And he wants to know if you can achieve a bite-through skin on a whole chicken.
Yeah. Higher temp.
I don't know.
Because them whole chickens I do on a pellet grill. Cook them jerkers at 400 and you're rocking a whole chicken. You can cook a whole chicken in about an hour at 400 degrees. And that skin gets crispy and gets delicious. Now, it doesn't taste smoked. Wherever it's laying down flat and got more moisture pooling, it's
on the bottom.
But I'm talking about like that breast skin or that leg skin or that wing skin. It gets real crispy. But the trick to it is that 400 degrees and that air moving on that pit. The more airflow you have at those higher temps, the crispier it gets that skin. Now you got to dry the skin really good. And then I usually put an oil on it and then my seasoning on it. And at 400 degrees, it wants to fry. You got to think, you get exposed to that kind of air. It's like being exposed to 350 degrees in the oven, or whatever. You're really getting skin right. That's what it's doing. You're never going to do it at lower temps below 300.
Could you jacquard it and make that process a little
You could if you wanted to. I don't know if it's going to make it any better. It's going to give more places for that moisture to get away once it starts cooking out of the meat.
But it also
might get those holes in it.
Cause it to tear.
You could tear it. I've never tried to jacquard like a whole chicken. I have done pieces and jacquarded through the skin like that, and it helps it to be more bite through. That's kind of a little competition trick people do with thighs. They would jacquard through it. And you can't really tell it's been jacquarded once it cooks because it kind of closes back off a little bit.
But you don't have as much weight pulling.
Yeah, and you don't have as much weight pulling it. But you can definitely get that skin crispier by cooking it at higher temp. Now, you're going to sacrifice the smoke flavor. It's harder to get, it's not going to taste like a smoked chicken. But, I don't know. With pellet grill, it's still really, really good chicken. We've been cooking those 400 degrees chicken wings for a long time, and that's our go-to weekend chicken wing.
That's what I was
because you can do it in an hour.
When I was asking about what's for dinner Saturday, I was like, typically it's either a steak or chicken wings.
Yeah,
that's kind of our
tacos.
Yeah, or tacos. That's kind of our go-to.
It's gonna be burgers this week. I got a feeling. I've been wanting to work on a turkey burger because I, you know, I've got these. Man, I've heard it's good. This, I had a guy at the Gateway here in Hernando. He was, he's got that alpha gal where you got bit by a tick and it causes you to not be able to eat mammalian meat. And if I ever get that, God help me. Please, Lord. Please, Lord, don't let me get that. I don't know what I could do if I couldn't
every
eat beef.
Every time
and
I
pork
see a tick,
deer.
I'm like,
yeah, and I don't know how many you got off of me this spring because I've been out in the woods. But man, I just hope I don't get it. I'd have to just have me an EpiPen. Just I'm gonna get
you're
me like
gonna have to go.
A dozen of them.
I don't know if I could resist.
Yeah,
ribeyes are one of the
throat's closing up,
things
breaking out in a rash. But I'm eating this steak. Let's go ahead and call the emergency room. Tell them we're coming.
Just tell 911.
Yeah. We'll start doing the parking lot cooks at the doctor's office. Get it again.
Probably ban back.
They'd probably ban me. Can't eat that. Here comes the steak guy. He knows he ain't supposed to eat it. That scares me more than snakes, spiders, or anything, though. A daggum tick, man. I never would have thought that. But if you tell you you can't eat beef or you can't eat pork or you can't eat deer meat anymore, pretty much any animal, any mammal.
Any mammal.
Yeah, anything that nurses. You can't.
You got chicken.
You can eat a chicken, yeah. I can eat turkey. Duck. I'd probably have to go into duck mode.
Yeah, duck would work. It's
not red
a ribeye.
Meat. It's still not a ribeye. I don't care how good you can cook one. It's not a ribeye.
So Duncan wants to know. Oh.
Did we answer the question on that? What was the question? I'm sorry. I got you on tangent.
About the chicken.
Oh,
you were talking about
skin,
turkey.
Yeah,
but you were talking about doing turkey that. Burgers.
Yeah. Oh, so I ran into the guy and he's like, man, I've been making burgers. He's like, you ever thought about, you know, doing a turkey burger recipe? I was like, well, I try not to eat turkey burger. I like mine deep fried, tossed in sauce.
Me, yeah.
And so he got to tell me why he had to eat turkey burger. He said, man, I've been making turkey sausage with your sausage season. He said, it's better than breakfast sauce. He said, I guarantee you can't tell a difference than going to get a pack of Jimmy Dean and then versus this ground turkey because
it's better for you.
Yeah. So he uses wild turkey. Or he'll get regular ground turkey and make it, but he's mixing wild turkey with a little bit of store-bought ground turkey, and that gets the right, he said it gets the perfect fat ratio, and he mixes it up, and he makes a breakfast sausage with it. And so it got me to thinking on making a turkey burger, and that's what he was wanting to do. So I was like, I might try that sometime. So I don't know.
I'd try it. Not for Saturday night.
Not for Saturday night. Maybe we'll do that when we do the camel meat.
Okay.
We'll do some experiment.
It'll be back
It'll
up.
Be experiment. Yeah.
That sounds more like a Tuesday.
We're having turkey burgers and camel meat. Filet-o-camel. I need a... What's the Spanish word for camel?
I think you need to research this a little bit.
Yeah. What, camel cooking?
Yeah. Is it better?
That might be a whole new channel. Camel cooking. Just every recipe is with camel meat. I wouldn't think there's that many camels in the... I mean, I guess there are a lot in the Middle East and over there.
Yeah, I imagine there's a lot.
World. I've rode one before. I have. You never rode a camel? Oh, at the Mid-South, the old Mid-South Fair, they had camel rides.
Yeah, but you had to pay extra for it.
We
weren't getting that.
You weren't spitting it out. You either got to ride the camel or you got the foot-long corn dog. Which one do you choose? I chose camel one time.
Duncan wants to know, can anyone tell me if they've ever smoked spare ribs and had the bones break apart while they're carving?
Like the actual bone break?
Yeah.
Something happened to that slab during processing. I've seen broken bones that way. I've never had them break during the cooking process. But, you know.
He's talking about what's he's... Picked them, cutting them.
Yeah. The bone actually like breaks.
Yeah.
I mean.
It was probably broke before.
I would guess it was.
I can't imagine the cooking process doing
breaking
that.
It. Yeah. It shouldn't. There was probably already like something happened to that rack of ribs. I'd be interested to know if it happened to multiple ones or if it was just one instance where he was cooking a rack and
I
it
think
had
it
some
was
broken
one
ribs.
Instance.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen chicken wings like that.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken wings get broke all the time and you cook them and you bite into them. It's like, oh man, this one's all broke. All the marrow's still leaching out. It's pretty good, actually. Chicken bone marrow is pretty good. I would tell nobody that I eat it. I do.
Chris asks, he's cooking beef ribs. Should he use maple bourbon pecan pellets or hickory pellets?
I'd probably go hickory.
Does it matter? That's my question.
I'm pellets, not so much. You're not going, but I like a hickory pellet. There's nothing wrong with a little, you're not going to pick up on maple. It's not like it's going to make it taste like maple syrup or anything. It's real mild. That's going to be a milder blend. And I would, if I'm going to use a pellet grill on the beef, like I'm probably going to go for a little more potent. The hickory would give you just a little bit better smoke flavor.
I like hickory on beef. Pecan's the best.
Pecan's good too. Yeah.
Clyde. So he cooked, he was going for dry rub ribs. He cooked them for 2 hours, wrapped them in foil with butter and barbecue sauce, and pulled them out of the wrap. And he says that his wife said they were a little slimy, which you know how it is.
This was my next question that I wrote down. I didn't write down whose name it was. I'm glad you did. So what that was you needed to go one step further. As soon as you took them out of that wrap, you need to get them on a little raised rack, put you a little more dry rub on them, and stick them right back on the pit and dry them out. And I guarantee you they won't be slimy. When they come out of that, you got to think, when they come out of that wrap, they got all, you've cooked out fat. And if you added any butter or anything in the wrap, it's all in there. So that's probably what was thinking was the slimy texture of them. It's very rare that you'll see me eat a rib straight out of the wrap. It usually always goes back on the pit.
Even if you're glazing.
Even if I'm glazing them. Or if you let it sit there, you could even let it sit there on the counter a little bit in the air and then season it with a little dry rub. But they really need to go back on the pit. They really need to. I mean, a dry rib. Yeah, that's really what makes it a good dry rib. You dust them a little bit as soon as you pull them out of the wrap because they're all wet and juicy and look ugly and horrendous. They just look, that's what the wrap does to them. They look much better coming out of butcher paper than they do full. So that might be, if you don't want to put them back on the pit, use butcher paper maybe to get them there, because that's going to absorb a lot of that grease and, you know, all the goodness that's cooking out of that rib. That paper's going to absorb some of it. It's not going to just let it sit there and pool. So it won't be as wet, or I wouldn't say slimy, but I don't know. Maybe it was the greasiness. It had a little extra grease to it or something. It was probably what it was. But exactly. Dry those ribs out, and I guarantee you, you're going to be like, that's how you do a dry rib. And all it takes is get you a little raised rack or a sheet pan with foil on it. You can do both sides. Most of the time, I just do the top side, the meaty side. I don't really worry about the back side. But in a contest, we will flip them bone up. We'll put a little rub on that back side first, stick them on the pit. It's like 5 minutes. Glaze it, flip it over, then season the top side, let that dry out, then glaze that, and then we've got a perfectly glazed rib. But just for dry, it just goes dry seasoning.
And when you're doing it in a contest, you're also, when you set that dry rub, like you put it back on the pit with just rub, mm-hmm. you're also doing that for appearance purposes.
Yeah, you're trying to get that appearance back. I mean, there is no doubt that if something looks good, it's probably going to taste good to you. I mean, it's very rare that, man, that's horrendous. Oh, it tastes great. Look at that. You eat with those eyes first, and then you eat with that smell. That's it. And then you get your taste. So you got to cover all those bases.
So I got one from Wayne. Do you have,
I got one from Nikki that we're going to get to.
So Wayne is entering a barbecue contest, and there is an optional category that's completely separate from the barbecue side of things. And it's an extreme sandwich. The only two rules are no wild game, and it must be in a bun of some kind. Fish is allowed.
Camel. As extreme as it gets. That ain't wild. It's a working animal. I don't even know. Is there wild camels out there? There's probably some nomads that herd wild camels or something.
What would?
An extreme sandwich?
I don't think it's talking about extreme meat.
Yeah.
I think it's like.
No, I would probably go.
Jerk man burger.
No, a jerk chicken sandwich would be really good though.
Yeah.
I'd probably go in a line of chicken some kind of way, just because I know. I mean, like that buffalo chicken sandwich is really mm-hmm. good. You could do a Nashville chicken sandwich. You can do all kinds of, you know, different takes on that.
Even a pulled
chicken. Extreme sandwich. Those little pizza sliders are really good.
That ain't going to win.
You don't think so?
I mean, I feel like it would need to be. Those pizza sliders are delicious, but they're little, you know.
I mean, po' boy. I mean, you got that Daybreak po' boy. You could do one of those with the beef. Po' boy. You could do, shrimp. I mean, the barbecue shrimp po' boy is really, really good.
A po' boy would be a good
There's so many sandwiches that are just. that's the sky's the limit. Now, if you want extreme, I mean, do you want to do extreme from heat, or extreme from looks? Or are we doing extreme from the protein type? What makes it extreme?
I don't know. There was no specification.
Nashville hot chicken sandwich is a good one.
I like the po' boy idea.
Po' boy? That's pretty extreme because you can make it big and grand. You can make grandiose. Big.
And they look really good. You know, you got all those ingredients stacked on one on top of each other.
I'll tell you another good one's a muffuletta. That's an extreme sandwich. Yeah. It's a man. So you can eat a whole muffuletta. You a man. Quarter of them will usually be up.
I haven't had a muffuletta in a while. I bought some olive tapenade from Trader Joe's. Best olive tapenade I've had. Store bought.
We just had it on like a little cracker and it was good.
Yeah.
That would make a really good muffuletta.
That's what I was thinking when I bought it. But some of them can be bitter. Some of them can be, you know, not good.
Yeah. Oh, they're too oily.
Yeah.
Yep.
That one was perfect. Trader Joe's got some good stuff. So who do you have? What do you have from?
Oh, so Nikki asked, what's the best way to do the Bernay chicken on a pellet grill? She's more specifically a Davy Crockett pellet grill. So we do them on pellet grills. But here's your deal on a pellet grill. There's always going to be a little hotter area somewhere. Most of the time, it's towards the front door because there's a gap from where your little heat diverter is. And so it lets hotter air from that fire, your little firebox that's in that pellet grill, lets it come up there first. That's where you're going to get the burn ass part. Now, I just start the chicken on the grate anywhere. We, we do thighs, the boneless, skinless thighs the same way, usually about 300, 350. You don't have to crank it all the way up to 400. You could do it at 400, but it'll do it at 350 just fine. Because I guarantee you that little hot spot up front is super hot. I mean, it's probably closer to 500 degrees up there. So what you do is you start your chicken on the regular grate, you get some color on it, and when it gets about 75% done, you start moving pieces up and lining them up right across that front door or down that side on each edge because there's whatever's a gap the on hot. It too.
Yeah.
So I'll make kind of like a little picture frame, and that's where my chicken's going, and I'm just going to go in there and start flipping and turning, and all of a sudden I'm glazing it, and it's getting all the little burnt goodness on it. And you can do it. We do it all the time on pellet grill. If I don't feel like starting up a Weber, I'll just crank that pellet grill up. I know you were doing it like that. And I don't even know if you did that part. You just let them cook. They don't get as charred, but the chicken's just as good. But to get the char, to get that glaze, to get that little char, just move it out to those edges right wherever that little gap is on your heat divider on your pellet grill. And just about every pellet grill's got a gap like that. There's no way around it. So.
And it's not going to get as charry.
It's not going to get as charry as like directly overcooked, but it'll get pretty close.
Good. It'll give you some brown.
And you're not going to overcook that chicken.
That's what I was going to say with those thighs.
Yeah, you're not. Don't worry. Don't get caught up on the internal temperature. I never tip them. I just cook them. They look like they're done. They get firm. They get a little burnt. They get to looking good.
I think somebody in the comments of that suggested to turn the grill up to 500. And I'm scared to turn my grill up to 500.
I would be too.
You just got to make sure you know your grill's clean. And you know what's been cooking on it. Because there's too many times I've seen people fire up their pellet grill like that, and all of a sudden they're getting a burn back. They're getting the whole thing on fire. There's grease in it. It's on fire, and it's screwing something up. I really don't think they're designed to go that high. I mean, they should have like a high limit on them. I mean, 400 degrees is about as hot as you really, really need to get one. Because they're just not meant for searing stuff. That's not what they're for. So why do they need to go up that high?
I mean, ovens, you put them up at 500, they're getting hot. Yeah. You know?
You put it on broil and it's rocking and rolling.
It's only meant to do that for a short couple minutes. Time, yeah. So last week we talked about doing a peanut butter and mayo sandwich.
Yeah. I ain't doing it. I can tell you right now, there's no way I'm eating half blue plate mayonnaise on one piece of bread and half Jiffy peanut butter on the other.
Mark said he wanted to try it. So I was thinking next week we might get Mark in here to do a taste test. Me and him will try it.
We do have some blue plates.
You'll try it. Tyler's in.
Yeah.
So this is my question. Are y'all doing creamy or crunchy peanut butter?
It's got to be creamy.
I feel like,
if it's smooth on smooth, like, oh man, that can't be good.
I think it's got to be crunchy because I feel like
that's what I would say. The texture thing would be that.
Try it both.
What I'm going to try it too.
Yeah, why not?
I'm just worried about it's just a lot of oil. Like that somebody, because I heard about this, because obviously I wasn't here last week, so I heard about this. And when I was told about it, I was like, that is just so much oil. Like you're just eating two oil-based like sauces on something.
That's very true.
But I'll try anything once.
I mean, it's just white bread, mayonnaise.
I've got some of this peanut butter powder. Have you seen that stuff? It's like
Yeah, yeah, protein powder.
Yeah, I've got some at home. We're gonna put, I'm gonna spread some blue plate on some bread, and I'm gonna sprinkle it down with that and see if you like that.
You always got to make it worse. But anyway, that whole thing started a conversation on the community about what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen mayo go on.
Huh.
I got a list. Some of them, like Luke.
I'm going to say tilapia. And it's horrendous. That was one of Shell's weekly rotation meals back when we first.
It was a Pinterest recipe.
Sure it was.
So some people, like Luke said, he put heavy mayo on his meatball sub from Subway. That ain't weird to me.
No, it's
not. It's good. Somebody said Cosmo just did one where he put the Q-Pie mayo on a Philly cheesesteak.
That's not weird.
I don't think so at all.
And he's on a Philly cheese is not weird.
Nope.
You got to get weird with it.
So the weirdest ones I saw, pancakes.
No, I'm not doing that. Pancakes.
Nope. I need butter.
Yeah.
Somebody said corn on the cob, but to me that's just Mexican.
Yeah,
not street corn.
Yeah, yeah,
not weird.
Elote.
Somebody said turnip greens, but
you would do that. So.
I would do that so good.
I'd say Mikey do it. Cornbread, black eyed peas, turnip greens, and a big old dollop of mayonnaise, and mix it all up.
Yeah, somebody said peas and beans.
Yeah,
black eyed peas and mayonnaise.
I mean, that is weird.
So good.
Yeah, but it's weird.
To you, maybe.
Pear. I wouldn't eat mayonnaise on a pear.
Somebody said
a
pineapple. Too.
Yeah, that's weird.
Tony said he was just checking comments for ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, these are like Mayonnaise Anonymous.
I like
Mayonnaise
that,
Eaters right? Anonymous.
And Eric said he's dipped cold pizza in mayonnaise before.
I ain't never. Pizza and mayonnaise does not go together.
I could see cold pizza. I'd try it.
So there was a time recently we were ordering from a local restaurant called Underground Cafe, and I used to work there. And on the menu, we had a sandwich called the Cheesy Mac and Pig. And traditionally, it was just two pieces of Texas toast. And I believe it was the mac and cheese, Gouda cheese, and then pulled pork on top with a drizzle of barbecue sauce. I used to order it, but I would nix the barbecue sauce and I would just get mayonnaise on the top and the bottom Texas toast.
Good.
And it was delicious. And I told Jacob to order that and he looked at me like I had three heads.
Like, really? Like that's the weirdest, strangest thing? There are some people that are just animate. They hate mayonnaise.
They've never had
mayonnaise. I'm going to tell you one that changed me, and it was weird, but it's not to me now, is when you make just a classic grilled cheese. I always just bread, cheese, bread, butter on the outside, make it in a skillet, you know, iron skillet. Well, Shell, when I married her or we started dating or whatever, you'd make grilled cheese, you'd spread mayonnaise on the bread and then put your cheese on it and then put mayonnaise on the other side of the bread. So you had a mayonnaise sandwich pretty much with a piece of cheese in it. And I was like, this is the craziest thing. Who makes grilled cheese with mayonnaise? But man, it is so good.
It is good.
It's a game changer
you
on a grilled
put
cheese
too
sandwich.
Because it is oily. So yeah. You got to be kind of
but it's really, light-handed. Really good.
It gives you such an even crust whenever you're searing it. That
yeah.
Oh, I'm talking about we put it on the inside.
You put it on the inside?
It's on the inside. Okay. It's on the inside.
I have put it on the outside too because it does give you a good crust.
When I'm doing
I like
quesadillas,
butter.
I do the mayonnaise on the outside too.
Yeah.
It browns stuff up better than butter does.
So, Roger, he was gifted some candied jalapenos and wants to know what ideas you got. A lot of people just said eat them out
just
of the
eat
jar.
Them juggers, yeah. You ain't got to make no ideas with that. I tell you what's really good. Sausage cheese plate and get you a cracker. A piece of smoked sausage, a piece of cheese, and a jalapeno, pickled jalapeno on top of it. That's a fantastic bite.
It is.
That's usually how we serve them up.
The sweet candy jalapenos goes really well with sausage and cheese.
Or get you a bowl of peas, dollop of mayonnaise, and put you some. I eat them with vegetables. So they go really good with peas and beans. They go good on a burger. You can use those as a burger topping just like you would a pickle. I mean, most of the time, they're not that hot. It's just a candied jalapeno. So, most of the time, the heat's not as
kinda
bad on them.
On what you get.
But I have had some that'll burn you down. You can chop them up. You can put them in with a knife or you can put them in little hand choppers and make a relish with it that goes really good on dogs or sausages.
Slaw.
Chop up and mix them in your coleslaw. I'm trying to think of other places. Where else have you used those like that? Deviled eggs. They're really good in deviled eggs.
Some people suggested the cream cheese where you
kind of
like
Yep, they're good in cream cheese.
We have cream cheese cracker and
yep.
candied jalapeno.
You can do smoked cream cheese and put some of that in it.
I would say chop them and yep. top the cream cheese with
top it. Top
it
with it like a relish almost.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it makes. It makes a candied jalapeno relish. But it's good on all kinds of things. It goes in a pimento cheese.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It goes really good in pimento cheese.
If you like a little sweet, mm-hmm. sweet to your pimento cheese. Do you have any more questions about?
That's the only ones that I had, and I think we covered our events that I had. Oh, there is a local event coming up May the 10th and 11th. If anybody likes doing like a local barbecue contest, it's not, I don't believe it's sanctioned, but it's the Five Star City Fest down in Senatobia. It's going to be May the 10th and 11th. And I think they still had some rooms for teams. That's supposed to be a really, really good one. It was, we never have cooked it because it was always like, you know, around Mother's Day, Memphis and May load in time. We do have those contests coming up. The Memphis and May World Championship is going to be at Tiger Park. I guess, is that what they call it? Tiger Park?
Tiger Lane.
Yeah. I don't know if they call it Tiger Lane anymore. I think it's called Tiger Park.
Oh, really? They changed the name.
But, and there's also the Smoke Slam event that's going to be down at Tom Lee Park. Same weekend. Same time. I don't think that's a good idea.
Grab your popcorn.
Yeah.
We're just watching.
See how this goes. Good luck to everybody competing in those.
Do we have another contest planned for the community, Tyler?
It is time to get one going. It's time to clean your grills and things like that. So we're going to come up with something and we're going to get posted. I know we're talking about doing another giveaway or a contest too. So y'all stay tuned for those. We'll have them by next week.
We need a burger contest if we're actually going to have a burger event. There needs to be one on the community for people that can't come. They can compete.
They can submit their photos.
Yeah,
I like this.
Submit their photos of their burgers.
I saw somebody post a really good photo of a classic grilled burger.
But the all American, great.
Yeah, it
was the like all American. Yeah.
Well, Malk, that's all I have for you today.
All right. Well, Tyler. We've been talking about all these questions of the community. Tell folks what the community is.
Head on over to the Let's Get to Cooking community over on facebook.com/group/HGQ community. First of all, you can ask questions like this that were featured here on the show today. You can email in questions as well, but you can also share recipes. They're talking about pictures we're seeing. Like, people share crazy awesome stuff all the time. We're usually hanging out there all weekend, most of us, in the comments section. If you don't hear from one of us, you're going to hear from one of the other awesome community members.
Yeah, it's a great resource.
Oh, yeah. Great, great reason.
You got a question? There's usually somebody.
Yeah, we may feature some of them on the podcast, right, Joe?
I completely forgot. Greg, he last week you had talked about doing banana leaf.
Yeah.
Pulled pork wrapped in banana leaves. He lives locally, and he said there is a Guatemalan grocery store at Perkins and Summer called...
Perkins and Summer? Is that where it's at?
Perkins and Summer.
Okay.
Called Super something Guatemala. they sell the banana leaves in a big pack.
I want to go check that store out.
Me too. I love international supermarkets.
So it's at Summer and Perkins.
That's what he said. And then there's an international farmers market on Germantown Parkway.
That one's awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a bunch of them on that stretch right there that are like really, really, really cool.
Where's it at on Germantown Parkway?
Not very good at this. Yeah. Kind of
stuff. Now I remember there used to be one out on Winchester. It was the International Food Market. And that's a pretty cool one. They had the fish tanks with the.
That's what I like.
Just whatever. I don't know what kind of fish they were swimming around in them, but they'll catch you out one and give it to you right there.
That's like the one I went to in Bartlett, but it's literally the size of a Walmart, but almost felt twice as big because it's just wide open.
Yeah.
You can see the back. They got the lobster tanks. Mm-hmm. They literally sold any meat that you could think of. Anything.
Yeah.
The only problem with those is, like, the one I used to go to had international aisle, so they had a flag for whatever country was that aisle. But it was all in a foreign language, so I had no idea. So I would just go in there and get stuff, you know? Be like, oh, it looks interesting. Let's get this.
Remember when we went to one in Atlanta?
Now that one's... What do they call that one? It was the...
It was, like, three Walmarts.
It's not the Peachtree Market, but, yeah, it was... That's the coolest one I've ever been in. Like, it had everything. I mean, they were butchering stuff in there.
They had deli in there. You could go eat lunch.
Yeah, it was huge. I wish I could remember what that was called.
It was awesome. That was probably the coolest one I've
ever had. The Decab Market, because that's in the county there or something.
Yeah.
It's something like the Decab International Market or something. Man, that one's awesome.
The one in Cordova that's on Germantown is, do you know where the Cordova Cinema is? Oh, there's like an Outback Steakhouse on that Road over there.
But yeah. I know exactly where that
right
is.
Right behind that.
Okay.
And it is
like, that used to be an old grocery store or Walmart or something, didn't it?
Probably. And then they just converted it.
Yep.
Yeah. That's most how they usually
did.
Are.
Yeah, most of them did.
That's a group field trip. Like really, really
cool. Man, we need to do that. We need to take a field day and go to all the little international markets and things and see what we can find that's unique.
And find a cool place to have lunch.
Yeah.
Have somebody drive a U-Haul behind because
that's my problem. I buy way too much.
We get the bus. You got plenty of room.
What bus?
Like rental bus.
Okay. We do need to invest in a bus. Just go ahead and buy us an old school bus. Well, Malk, that's all I have for you this week. If you would like to connect with Malcolm, it's How to BBQ Right on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and of course YouTube. If you'd like to connect with me, it's Miss Southern Shell on Instagram and TikTok.
All right, y'all. Well, appreciate y'all hanging out with us this week. We will be back next week for another edition of the How to BBQ Right podcast. And y'all get to cooking some burgers. I'm going to cook some this weekend. I'll share what I do. We'll see y'all. We gone.